guys. It's a new episode of Sex and Sanity. It's a new season of 2024, guys. I miss you guys so much. It's been a long break. And last year, we weren't as consistent as we used to be when we started Sex and Sanity. I love you guys so much, and I miss you guys. I miss Sex and Sanity. My name is Amishika. I'm your host. Sex and Sanity is hosted on the Gold Coast Report Podcast Network, along with several other podcasts, guys. You should listen, like, check us out, visit our website, www.listentogcr.com. Check out our beautiful podcast. There's a lot. There's Sincerely Accra, there's Free Your Mind, there's a lot. Like, check us out and listen. Subscribe to Sex and Sanity if you haven't subscribed. Remember, lately we've been giving y'all, like, video content, you know? Y'all get to see how sexy we look and our facial reactions and everything, like, that goes on in the studio when we are recording. So that, I mean, you enjoy watching us. So if you are listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any audio platform, you can check YouTube. Just type Sex and Sanity to see our videos, and you can watch. And after watching, you can listen to the full episode on the audio players. You understand? And leave us comments, okay? We like to hear what you have to say. Okay, guys, as usual, I'm with my co-host, Sister Araba. Hello, Sister Araba.
Ta-da. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Yakwaba, we're back, okay? It's March. Hey, and happy to have all of you back, old listeners, new listeners, and that.
Guys, so it's our first episode of the year. So it's just Araba and I. So we put it out that if you have questions for us, let us know. And then from the questions we got, we selected three to answer for our first segment. So the first question we got is, do you get wet naturally or do you use aphrodisiacs? This is how I'm going to answer, okay, as a sex coach. Okay, so the thing with lubrication, vaginal lubrication, is that, like, sometimes because of hormonal changes, because of medication that you might be taking, because of your age, like if you're nearing menopause, because of childbirth, even that's like the time of your cycle, you might find it hard to get lubricated during sex. So sometimes, me personally, there are times that I get lubricated, like, so easily. But there are times that's like, maybe right after my period, I find it hard to get wet. Like, you can actually have an orgasm without, like, being wet. So, I mean, the correlation between wetness and pleasure and orgasm, like, is not always direct. Because there are times that, like I mentioned, hormones, your age, a lot can make it hard for you to get wet during sex. So that's why lubricants exist. Personal lubricants exist for that reason. So if you find it hard to get wet sometimes, or you're experiencing that, you should, I mean, get, I think every sexually active person should own a lubricant, okay? So if your question is because you've been experiencing vaginal dryness, get a vaginal lubricants, okay? Personal lubricants. You can look for one without glycerin, because the thing with glycerin is that it predisposes us to, like, getting yeast infections because of the sugar. So get a lubricant and then use it with your partner. I mean, doing a lot of foreplay helps you get wet, actually. So if you're doing a lot of foreplay and making sure, like, he's eating you out, because eating you, like, cunnilingus helps, like, women get wet. Like, me personally, I like partners that when they notice that you are getting dry, they eat you out. Like, they pull out and eat you out and put it back in. Because it's an easy way to, like, stimulate the clitoris and then to induce wetness. But if you're not getting wet, just use a lubricant, okay? And don't use saliva as lube. And you mentioned aphrodisiac. The thing with aphrodisiacs is when it comes to women, it's not as simple as men is. Like, for men, it's all about, like, the blood rushing into the penis to make you hard. And then, like, when you stay hard, you can go long, right? For women, it's not that easy. So I'm not going to, like, recommend, like, something like an aphrodisiac for you to take to experience wetness easily. Get a personal lubricant. Look out for vaginal moisturizers. And, I mean, you can see a guy gynecologist if you're always dry, just so they can do some tests and see what's going on. If it's cause of hormonal imbalances and they can do something about it, then they can suggest something for you, okay?
Very well. I mean, personally, when it comes to time of the month placement, usually at the just a week before my period, it's very hard for me to get wet. Like, okay, yeah, at that point, I'm just like a Sahara. But right after that time, I tend to like ease up more. And also where your head is at, if you're having a sexual encounter, you need to be relaxed and in the mood and like ready for what you are doing. If you're going to just be having sex because someone asks or just because like you're being pressured to do it, usually that situation is going to happen where you're not dry or lubricated enough. And aphrodisiacs are a thing. I believe alcohol is an aphrodisiac. But you see, like the thing about those is hopefully it doesn't like get in the way of your personal desire to. So it's not like the aphrodisiac is what is influencing your decision to want to have sex, but it's something you want to do. Because you could use maybe those date rape drugs and those things that people use, like they will spike your drink and now you're horny and in the mood and all like wet and that's not like you wanting to do it. So I think what you should do is to get your head in the right place, do a lot more foreplay, and then yes, like Kami said, invest in a lubricant, it helps.
Don't use saliva, we always say it. Okay, I beg you, don't do that. All right guys, the next question we have is, I want to know if anal sex can make a lady pregnant. No. Okay, the answer is no. The semen going inside the anus won't find its way inside your vagina to
I have a question. Mm-hmm. We're having anal sex. Mm-hmm. I am wet in my vagina as well. Now, because I'm wet from the back to the front, is there a possibility?
I'm asking a regular question.
Okay, like a layman, okay. Like somebody who doesn't know deeds.
Okay.
I'm wet. Mm-hmm. Now, this man comes in my butt, but I'm lying in such a way that there could be a spill out. Girl, be practical.
Is it like some form of physics or what? Like,
no, I'm saying, yes, okay, fine. There's no way you're wet from your vagina to your asshole, like the whole area is
if
wet.
He's coming in your ass, like, I mean, if you think some of the semen...
Is there a possibility? Because it could be that you're ovulating and then like the semen just like, you know, because it's just... all wet all the way from your vagina to your asshole, it could travel. It's not possible.
Anal sex is actually some people's form of contraception.
True.
Because like if he's close to coming, then you tell him, put it in my ass. Don't come in my vagina, put it in my ass. It's just like how people tell, if you're ovulating, instead of him coming in your vagina, swallow it. Let him come on your face or somewhere else, not in your vagina. So
you say it's not possible. That
it's not possible for you to be, to get pregnant from anal sex. That's what a lot of, me personally, like I think if I have anal sex the next time, I'll just let him come inside so he doesn't go inside the vagina. It's a form of contraception, right? Because anal too is nice. Anyway, guys, next question. I want to know, okay, wait. The next question is, girl, I just want to know how to touch myself properly as a girl. Because I be watching Pornhub a lot. I feel something small and I think this can't be it. Are you going to answer first? How did you learn how to touch yourself?
Edging, I think that's where it all came from. The first time I thought I had an orgasm, I was like, okay, so this is the point I get to and it feels good. Mm-hmm. But then eventually I was like, okay, when it feels good, how about I breathe and continue? And then with constant like practice, I realized, oh, if I'm able to breathe and continue long enough, there's like another orgasm that's like extremely thrilling than the first one. Like there are those surface ones that make you like, and you want to stop. But then if you're able to like slow it down and then pick up tempo again and get to that point, you can have like a mind-blowing orgasm. So you're probably getting the surface orgasms and stopping there because it feels nice. I mean, edging is hard, especially when the first one is like so good and you want to just stop because everywhere is extremely sensitive. Yeah, that happens. But I feel like there's more to it. You can go further. And don't rely on porn because wherever the person is getting stimulated at may not be your pleasure zone. So like feel up on your body yourself and then find out what arouses you the most and then keep doing it. Like if you feel like you're getting there, like pause a bit, breathe, and then go back to it. Like do it till at this point you know like you're out of breath.
Okay, guys, so Araba is talking about edging, right? Me, I want to just work with how I, when the first time I touched myself, because me, I went on Google, like, I was just like, how to make myself, like, have an orgasm, and I don't know what website I found. it was years ago, over a decade ago. I remember, like, I made sure I had time. I put off the light. I locked my door because I was living in my parents' house. And then I got naked and I was just like touching my body, like from top to down, like, and I play sensual music. So the main thing about like learning to touch yourself is don't touch yourself with the focus of having an orgasm. Cause when you focus so much on that, it takes away from the experience. Just make it like a self-exploration thing. So you play with your nipples with your fingers, you go down, go to your vulva. When you get to your vulva, use your fingers and just feel around it. I have found that I respond better like when I'm masturbating. Like being lubricated makes me respond better to touch. When I'm dry, I don't feel it like that. So if I'm dry, I just use a lubricant and then it helps me respond better. That's why, I mean, when we're having sex, we always say that the vagina needs to be lubricated because it helps you respond better, okay? So if you don't have a lubricant, just get a lubricant instead of using saliva, okay? So you can get a lubricant and just be rubbing on your clitoris. I hope you know where your clitoris is. If you don't know where the clitoris is, please just Google. You have to know as a woman, okay? But if you don't know, just Google, like, where is the clitoris? You just find it. Just be like rubbing around it, okay? Just let it be like a form of self-exploration. Devote time to it. It can be like 30 minutes, an hour. Make sure you have time. Maybe one evening that you have nothing doing, so that it's not like you're rushing yourself, okay? So just be like, rub. You can, there are several ways to rub, like down there with the clit, the tip of the clit. You can rub, like, you can start with rubbing in circles for a while. See what it feels like. If it feels nice, then you end up going faster. You start slowly, go faster. If you're rubbing in circles and it feels nice, you go faster, keep going. You can reach your climax. If you do that for a while, then you can, I mean, for some, sometimes I realize that like the left part of my clit or the right part of my clit might be more sensitive. Like I mean, you start with the tip, then you go to the left, you rub like maybe diagonally or in circles, like just explore different ways of rubbing and touching yourself, okay? The main thing is to feel what like it will feel like. Just experience what that will feel like, not to have an orgasm. And if it starts to feel good, you keep going, you go faster, then you can reach your climax. That's how I'm gonna tell you how to go about touching yourself. Try it out, and we have an episode on sex and sanity, making myself come. It's a first season, first it was 2019, yeah. Making myself come. Check the first season of Sex and Sanity. You find making myself come. After listening to this episode, go listen to that because we went in details. And then, I mean, you can try it out in your bedroom somewhere and let me know how it goes. We want to, like, if you ask questions and we give you suggestions, we like to know, like, how it goes when you try it out, okay? So that, I mean, our listeners will know that, yeah, it worked for you so they can also try it out, okay? All right, guys. Now we're going to move on to the second segments of this episode. So with this second segment, guys, I want to talk about, we'll start by talking about how our break was. How was your break, Araba?
It's been okay. This has been a shorter break than last year, because I think last year our first recording was like in May, so this was significantly shorter. And so much has happened in the last year. I've been sober and done with that and back to drinking. My life has been nice. I hope yours has been too.
Guys, I've been having a lot of sex and been chilling. I had a threesome in December. Like, I've been having fun. Like, the person I was seeing was putting it. He was doing it well. Like, I was having a lot of sex and I enjoyed it. Like, what else? How was my break? Guys, I'm currently sober. I'm trying to live healthy. So I'm trying to see if I can be sober indefinitely. So no drugs, no alcohol. And I'm so lit and fun. Like this week I was partying and I had all the energy. Like people had to keep asking, are you sure you've not drank anything? Yeah, I'm enjoying that. So if you've been wanting to be sober, maybe this is a sign that you should get sober. Because I'm really enjoying it. Like, I feel so good within my body. And mentally, I feel great. And guys, last year, we weren't so consistent. Last year, I went through a lot. So mentally, I was going through it. Last year was so hard for me. So I'm hoping that this year, we will be more consistent. And we'll do a lot more for you, okay? Okay, so the next thing we will talk about is the benefits benefits of sex to your well-being. Benefits of great sex to your well-being. What is one benefit of great sex? To your personal well-being.
Peace.
Peace. Mm-hmm. Sex brings you peace. Mm-hmm. Hey, tell mm-hmm. us about that.
If I'm having good sex in the right place with the right person, my life seems to be smooth sailing. Everything is fine. It's not as chaotic.
Yeah, personally, I live alone. I'm a grown woman. I live alone. And I mean, having a regular, like an active and fun sex life helps me go through life, to be honest. Like when I'm having consistent sex, I'm happier. And the thing with sex is that, like when you have great sex, feel good hormones, endorphins are released, oxytocin is released, dopamine is released, and it can boost your mood, okay? You can feel better. It can help relieve stress. So if you have anxiety, depression, like in the past, like if I'm going through it, I would want to go and have sex because it helps me feel better after. With motivation, I write. I'm a writer, okay? And great sex really like motivates you to write. Like, I don't know how to explain it. If you're a creative person, like having great sex really, really comes with some form of motivation. Like, so if you're experiencing some block, maybe you're not having sex. Maybe you should go and have great sex. Yeah, but there's more to your cardiovascular health. Sex is great sex is said to boost your heart, your cardiovascular health, your immune functioning. Sex is said to help with that, boosting your immune functioning. It helps you sleep better because it helps with relaxation. So when you have great sex, like you're more relaxed and you sleep better. A lot of people will tell you that when they can't sleep at night, they masturbate. And masturbation is sex, you know? It's a sexual outlet. It's solo sex. It's sex with you yourself. Partner sex is when there's somebody else involved. So, I mean, if you're gnashing, you don't have a partner, masturbate, okay? Okay, you get it. All right. There's more. What are the benefits of sex?
If you have a partner, sex is a way of building intimacy.
Yeah.
You both get closer. You both get a hang of each other's bodies, you get to learn each other's bodies, you know, build your intimacy.
Yeah, it boosts emotional connection because you feel closer to your partner. Like if you're in a relationship and you have a lot of good sex with them, you really feel closer to them. Isn't it after sex that people end up like the pillow talk, people make promises? Somebody told me a girl wrote him once and then he just was like, this is so good, and took his phone and sent her how much? I've forgotten the exact amount, but it was four digits, okay? But he was like, the sex was so good that he just felt like giving her something. So he just sent her money right there and then. So, I mean, sex does that, okay? It helps you, like, I mean, you don't feel too far away. Like, personally, in a relationship, like when I've been in a relationship where we didn't have sex for a while, you don't feel close. Like, you would know that you wouldn't feel that close with your partner like you would if you were having a lot of sex. People will tell you, oh, we've not had sex in months because, I mean, a lot, blah, 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 blah. I mean, spice it up, okay? Because when you spice it up and you're having a lot of sex, you notice a difference. Maybe the boredom, doing it, like, all the same way all the time. Like, you get on top, missionary, he goes in for a while and then comes and then that's it. Maybe that's why, I mean, your sex life is boring and then now, like, you are not having sex and now you feel so far away from your partner. So, I mean, find a way to spice it up. Get my book, Hot Sex Every Day. Do a lot of the things in it. Spice it up and then have a lot of sex and you might feel closer to your partner. Another thing about sex is self-esteem, because when you're having, like, great positive sexual experiences, it boosts your self-confidence in a way. Like, I feel so much better, more confident, have more energy when I'm having a lot of good sex, personally. So yeah, me, I don't think I can live without sex. So yeah, that's it. So there's a lot more hormonal imbalance. Apparently sex can help, like it helps with your lifespan too, longevity. So guys, have a lot of great sex, okay?
So like, those are just conspiracy theories.
It's not like...
Is it facts?
It's 50-50.
Of course, you wish it was true. You really wish it was true.
But sex helps with pain relief too. Not just sex though. Great sex. Have you heard about like sex relieving migraine?
No, I know what it does is clears a blocked nose. honestly, if you have a good orgasm and your nose is blocked, you're likely to have it unblocked. Mm. Promise. Like, it's happened to me in real time. Oh, but I don't know about pain relief.
Guys, it actually, like, for some people, they'll tell you that, like, when they have cramps and they have great sex, they feel better.
No, I think what it does for me when it comes to cramps is before I get my period, if I have sex before, it's an easier flow.
Yeah, one of my friends, Linda. Guys, you remember Linda from Sex and Sanity. She says what her period delays, right? Sometimes it needs a push. And having sex makes a period come. Right. So like after having sex, the next day, that's from her experience. I haven't experienced that because my cycle is very like regular. So I haven't, if it delays, then I know I'm pregnant. It doesn't need a push. But yeah, some people will tell you it does that for them. So please have a lot of great sex, okay? If you are celibate for your own reasons, that's fine too, okay? I'm not forcing you to go have sex. It has to be on your own terms. But I mean, if you want to have it, have it. But make sure it's good. If it's not good, don't have it at all. I beg you.
And also, it's not even about the frequency. It's about the quality.
Exactly.
If you're having sex just once a week and it's great, mind-blowing sex, I think you should keep it up instead of having like 5 times a week and a shitty sex.
Yeah. All right, guys. The next thing we want to talk about is how we are staying healthy sexually this year. Because, you know, sex and sanity, like the sanity part is important for us, guys. A lot of you keep asking us, where's the sanity in sex and sanity? Because you think we say the wildest stuff and it's crazy and blah, blah, blah. This year, we want to show you that the sanity is a big part of it. Okay. And I mean, staying healthy sexually is part of the sanity. Okay. One thing I'll tell you is as a sexual active human being, you should get tested minimum once a year. That's the first thing. But if you end up having sex with somebody, the condom breaks, it's possible that you might be exposed to something, because you can never know for sure unless you've seen test results. And even with the test results stuff, HIV has an incubation period of up to 3 months. So you can get tested today and in 3 months, get tested again. And if you got exposed to HIV, that's when you test positive for it. You get it? So if you have sex with somebody and the condom breaks, the condom falls inside the vagina, or you after sex, you can't find the condom. Or I don't know, even if you give oral sex, like if you give or receive oral sex, if you got drunk, I mean, or you got high and you don't remember whether you used a condom or not, or you had a threesome, like, I mean, once you are like being sexual and there's a possibility of exposure, you need to get tested. Okay, get tested right after, and then in 3 months, get tested again. And if you have any infections, you're not gonna die, okay? Just the first thing you do, because like a lot of people, once they test positive for an infection, like your mind's like you're going crazy. It's a lot of people, like a lot of sexually active people in their lifetime get an infection and treat it. You are not the only one who is testing positive for a sexually transmitted infection. Exactly. So please, the first thing you can do is to get to start treatment ASAP. When you test positive for an infection, start treatment ASAP, okay? And inform your partners, I beg you. Inform your partner, and it would be very irresponsible and wicked of you to get like to test positive for an infection and then go have sex, like unprotected sex with somebody, knowing that you are putting them at risk of catching that infection. That's so wicked. You should be jailed for that. So please don't do that, okay? When you test positive for an infection, start treatment after, like, wait, because a lot of the infections are like curable with over-the-counter medication. Those that are not curable, right? They like you can manage the symptoms, and like with HIV, you can lower the viral count. You can have a great relationship, marry somebody who is even negative, have children.
You can even have children.
Yeah, that's why. Like once you test positive, the next step is to start treatment, okay? And then find a way. If you don't want to tell your partner yourself, find a way of like sending them an anonymous message that it's possible you've been exposed to gonorrhea. So please go and get tested. If me personally, if I get a message from an unknown number that says that, I'll go and get tested right after, because I don't know who has told you something. Do you get it? I'm just telling you, because that conversation might be hard. Like, it can be hard to have. I've never had to have that conversation, but personally, if I think about it, I don't know how I'll go about it.
I mean, I get how that would be hard, but I also believe that honesty and transparency is everything. Because would you rather the person goes to find out, trace, and know that you gave it to them, and now it's like, oh, so you knew you had this and you didn't tell me?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want all that uncomfortable story. So you come clean. Hey, you're the last person, or I've been with you within the last couple of weeks or months, and I just got my test results, and this is what I have. I would like you to go check as well, just in case you have or you don't have. If you do have, then we both get treated. Especially if you're trying to see them again. Like, you need to.
What if you don't want to see them again?
You and I were talking about the fact that if I caught an STI from somebody,
I told you I'll
just, like, ghost.
Guys, let me be honest. I would have ghosted, because, like, you gave it to me. Like, are you mad? Why did you give me an infection? Like, but yeah, that's not the right way to go about it.
At
like,
least let them you know. Let you them can know. Still ghost, though, but, like, let them know and ghost.
And ghost.
So he just shoots the text, like, hey, I got tested, I got this, and you should get checked too. And then that's the last message to them. Don't see them, don't talk to them ever again.
And they have been having sex with multiple. If you have a lot of partners, that's when it will be a lot of work, because you don't know who gave you. You don't know who you would have given it to.
You have to do the walk back, trace, retrace your steps. Yeah.
And guys, another way that, like, you can stay, personally, one way I'm staying healthy sexually is to, like, be exclusive with one person, because I realized that it's more controlled. Previously, I've been poly on this podcast before. If I want to be poly again, I will be poly. But there are ways to navigate that, okay? If I'm poly, I'll have one partner that I do unprotected sex with. And the others, we use condoms. Do you get it? We use protection, barrier protection. Do you understand? So you have to, like, always think about your sexual health. Because, Charlie, even threesomes, like, guys, the risk involved. Think about it. Like, think about all the risks involved and just see how best you can be safer, okay?
You know, it's always, like, so simple. I remember when, right from when we were kids, they were preaching ABC. Abstinence, be faithful, condom use. Like, it's simply the way to go. If you think that you cannot, like, take all the rules and adhere to them, abstain. Do not have the sex at all. You can masturbate and masturbate until you find somebody that you want to start having sexual relations with. Then you both can get tested. Then you get to the B part, which is the being faithful. So it's you and your partner, and you're staying true to each other. But if both won't work for you and you want to show the world your sexual prowess, so you want to sleep with multiple people, that's fine. But use condoms,
yes,
or get
please.
Tested.
Okay.
Please.
And another thing is that a lot of us forget that penis and vagina, sexual intercourse or penis and anus is not the only way to contract infections. We give head. You're sucking his dick and swallowing his semen. If he has herpes, you can have oral herpes. You can have oral gonorrhea. Do you understand that? So that's also, when I talk about using a condom during blowjobs, people say it's boring, but I've actually sucked dick with a condom on. Because in that moment, I was like, I'm not about to risk catching an infection.
Guys, so Ami, what do you think about using cling film as a barrier?
What?
Cling film, you know, the rubber.
Girl, let's get practical here.
Excuse me.
You find in the house.
No,
it's like using bamboo rubber, guys. We talked about that. Bamboo rubber, polythene.
No, cling film has this, like, texture.
So
okay?
You use that. Will you use that too? Like, no, guys, don't do that. Because it's rubber. It can even tear. It should be latex or use not.
No, I just watched a show recently, okay? And then the girl was being so, like, particular about, like, protection. So she sent the guy out, like, 3 times to go buy, find condoms. The guy found one with lambskin, but the girl said she wanted latex. So the guy had to go back out to go and find latex for her.
Hey, so what?
And then she sent him right back out that she needs to suck him off, but she can't do it directly on his penis. So she should go and find cling film.
She could have just used a condom like that. Because a condom, you wear it over the dick and then you suck it. And then there are dental dams for cunnilingus.
In a situation where you don't like the smell of condoms like me, I hate the smell of condoms.
Then don't suck it.
I can deal with it, like, when it's being used for penetration. But if I have to put my mouth on it,
Guys, it's not easy. Like, having sex is really not easy because, like, you know, there are lots of risks. That's why, like, we advise people, like, it's advisable that you wait till, like, you are matured enough and you know a lot. Because you need to even have money, sir. Because if you have an infection and you don't have money, how are you going to treat it? The way I price her.
Morning after pills are expensive.
Exactly. Like,
especially if you don't want pregnancy. So right now, what's up?
Guys, another way that we are staying healthy sexually, contraceptional, guys. Get on a contraceptive. If you're not ready to have a baby, please get on a contraceptive. Discuss it with your partners. I hate it when, like, a lot of men don't have that conversation, and then when pregnancy happens, then they, like, get upset. They get mad at the woman, like...
Sometimes when a man is upset about his girl or his partner being pregnant, I wonder, like, when you were nutting in here, what were you expecting?
Like, I legit heard somebody on the phone once.
She's
like,
gonna pee a lollipop for you.
He was so angry, and I was like, man. He was like, you know, you were ovulating and you came to see me. Like, dude, when you were coming inside, do you think about the possibility of pregnancy? Once your semen is going inside somebody's vagina, it's possible she could get pregnant. So, have the conversation. Are you on a contraceptive or can you get a morning after pill? And remember that they can fail you, and no contraceptive is 100% effective unless abstinence, unless you are maybe coming in the ass. So, yeah. So another way you can stay healthy sexually is prioritizing open communication, guys, because pleasure is a big part of sexual health. You cannot separate it. If you are not enjoying sex, then there's no point. You're not being sexually healthy if you keep having bad sex with your partner. So communicate your needs, masturbate, and get to know your body better so you can direct your partner to teach you. If they can't find your clit, show them your clit, okay? If they won't eat you out, and you need to be eaten out, maybe dog him or find somebody else. Oh, I don't know what you want to do, but have the conversation and talk about your needs, what you need to feel good. And if your partner disregards your needs, then you know they don't care. They don't respect you like that, okay? The next thing is consent, guys. Consent is not negotiable. You do not have sex without consent, because then it's not sex, then it's rape, it's abuse, it's a crime on its own. And it has its own issues. Nobody wants to deal with abuse. So, I mean, you wouldn't want to deal with that. So please, always prioritize that. Always make sure that everybody you are having sex with is aware of what they are gonna do with you, and they consent to it. They willingly, like, they say, yes, I want to. They don't say, I don't know. If they say, I don't know, leave it, because they are not sure. Don't beg. Don't force them. I beg you. Okay, please. So that's how we are staying healthy sexually. And that's how I want y'all to stay healthy sexually. Last thing, please lower your alcohol and drug use, because alcohol and drug use comes with the possibility of you doing, like, risky stuff. Like, in that moment, because you're drunk or you are so high, like, your senses, like, you are not really thinking well. So, I mean, it's like, okay, fuck it. Let's do raw. Or you want to fuck anybody, or you want to do an orgy and you want all of them to come inside you or something. I mean, just make sure that you are in control at every point. Know your limit, okay? And prioritize your mental health too, because when you're okay mentally, you enjoy sex better. Because, I mean, we all know how depression, personally, I know how depression can impact sexual health and relationships. So prioritize your mental health. If you are going through it and you need to seek help, please, there are clinical psychologists around, there are therapists around. If you don't know where to go to, reach out to me, okay? I'll just tell you where to go to so you can get help, okay? Please, it's important. All right, guys, we're gonna move on to the next part of this episode. What can y'all expect from Sex and Sanity this year? What can y'all expect from Sex and Sanity this year? So the first thing is consistency, guys. We're gonna give y'all an episode every other week. And guys, please reserve your 25th May for us. Because Silk and Tits is coming, okay? Silk and Tits is coming. We want to give you an event in May, because we postponed the one that was supposed to happen in December. So expect that. So expect consistency. Expect us giving y'all more content on our social media. Expect us interacting with you. Expect us reviving our community. We used to have, like, a group on Telegram that we used to interact with. We will try and revive that. Like, we want to do a lot more with you guys. guys, we're all together. Like, we're creating a club, SNS club. If you are listening to this, you better be a part of it, because you know we are not boring people. You will have fun being a part of it. Okay. So, guys, so that's it for the episode. I wanted us to talk about our bucket list. Do you have anything on your bucket list this year? What's one thing,
I'll probably just save that for our next episode.
Okay, guys, yeah, we'll tell you what's on our bucket list on our next episode. So, guys, I have a dare for you. You know, we always end Sex and Sanity with a dare. My dare is the body mapping exercise. So the body mapping exercise is an exercise that helps you, like, partners in a relationship get to know each other. Like, you get to understand what it takes to stimulate and please your partner better. And the thing with body mapping is that if you are in a relationship, once in a while, like as time goes, so maybe every 6 months, every quarter, you do it, because we change. Humans, like, change is very constant when it comes, like, change is a thing with humans. We are not the same all the time. A lot of things, like today, my nipples can be sensitive, and maybe next year I might say that my nipples are no longer sensitive. Or something that I wasn't into today, next year I might be open to it. So the body mapping exercise helps you, like, I mean, revisit, like, you start from the drawing board all over again. So what you do is, one partner gets naked. You just, I mean, you need to devote time to it, okay? So let's say you're in a room. If you have my book, Hot Sex Every Day, body mapping exercise is in it, so you can find it and read it, okay? But if you don't have it, what you can do with devote time, like an hour, two, three, if you are more than one in a relationship, that's fine. One partner has to lie down. You can use blindfolds, because the thing with blindfolds is that, like, it restricts, like, when sensory inhibition, so it restricts your sense of sight, so you can't see. And when that happens, your other senses are heightened, so your skin responds better to touch. So when the person lying down has a blindfold on, first thing, maybe they can lie face down. If they lie face down, you stimulate every part of their body in different ways. You can use the tip of your fingers, you can use feather ticklers, you can use whips. Like, you can use your lips too. You can kiss, you can bite parts that you can bite. So what you do is you explore each part of their body, and with each part, if your partner that's lying down feels something nice, they are supposed to let you know, so they can use their fingers. So you can agree on a way to communicate pleasure. So if you're kissing her upper back, right, and she feels something nice, then she can give you a thumbs up to show you that, oh, this feels nice. Okay, so you can have different ways of communicating that. Maybe all five fingers up to show that this is very, very pleasurable. Or one, oh, it's somehow pleasurable. Or just a fist to say, I'm not feeling anything. Or a fist to say, never do that again. Do you get it? So it's just a way to, like, learn which parts of your body, your partner's body, are sensitive to touch, and what kind of stimulation can get them to feel pleasure. So work with every part, like stimulate every part of their back, then you move to the front of their body. Okay, you can massage, you can lick, you can bite with the nipples, you can squeeze, you can bite. Okay, so they communicate. If it's unpleasurable, they hold a fist up, and then you know that, okay, that's something that you don't like, and then you take a mental note. So then you take turns to do it to each other, okay? Explore each other's body, like, pretend you don't know which parts are sensitive. It's like you're learning each other's body all over again. If you've been married for a while, you've been in a relationship for a while, and you're listening to this, I'm telling you, do the body mapping exercise. Get my book for the details, yeah? Because we're running out of time, but then get my book for the details. Try out the body mapping exercise. When we post this, I'm gonna, like, I mean, post like a summary of it so that you can try it out, or you can DM me for a summary of it so you try it out. Try it out and let me know how
it
goes.
Don't DM
her
for a summary of it. That means you buy the book. Buy the book.
Okay? Yeah, I want to find where exactly.
Buy the book.
If you have Hot Sex Every Day, I want to show you.
You attach it in the description box.
Where exactly? And it's just here.
Okay.
If you have Hot Sex Every Day, it's... Okay, so it's the 31st of, which month comes before April? March. Hey, okay. So yeah, 31st of March, that's a task there. Erotic body mapping. If you have hot sex every day, get to that page. 31st March erotic body mapping. Try it out with your partner and make sure that from time to time you do it, because our bodies, like the way we respond to pleasure, we all change from time to time. Like a lot, our experiences. You can have an accident. You can have a baby. Like a lot can change how you respond to stimulation. So if you are able to do the erotic body mapping, like maybe every 6 months or every year, then you make sure that at every point you know what parts of your partner's bodies are most sensitive and what to do to make them feel the most pleasure. Sex and sanity, we want you all to like enjoy your sex lives better. We want to equip you with the knowledge and, I mean, the resources, everything you need to know to make informed choices about your sexual and reproductive health. And I'm telling you that this year, we're going to show you that sanity is a big part of sex and sanity. So we're going to be talking a lot about very important topics like your body image, how mental health relates to sex, how mental health issues can impact your sexual health, your relationships. We talk about abuse. We talk about all those things already, but yeah, we'll talk a lot more about them this year. Okay. Okay. Do you have anything else for them?
We'll be happy to be back with you again.
Are we mourning?
No, not me. You can't.
Guys, wait. I'm not going to moan. If you still want us to keep moaning at the end of our episodes, tell me. I need motivation, okay? And get my book. Okay, guys, stay sexy and see you in our
Safe
next
sex
episode.
Is the best sex, like
okay,
always.
Okay, please.
Bye.
If he will eat you out, leave him.
This has been a Gold Coast Report production.